Senate will come to order. Roll call.
Roll call for Thursday, February 13th. Anderson District 2.
Here.
Anderson District 28.
Here.
Barnard.
Here.
Bebout.
Here.
Burns.
Here.
Case.
Present.
Christensen.
Here.
Coe.
Here.
Cooper.
Here.
Kraft.
Here.
Dockstader.
Here.
Driscoll.
Here.
Amrick.
Here.
Esquibel.
Here.
Geis.
Here.
Hastert, Hicks,
here.
Hines,
here.
Johnson,
here.
Landon,
here.
Meyer,
here.
Nicholas,
here.
Nutting,
here.
Perkins,
here.
Peterson,
here.
Rothfuss,
here.
Schiffer,
here.
Scott,
here.
Von Flatern,
here.
President Ross.
Here.
30 present.
Prayer by Senator Peterson.
Our Heavenly Father, we are grateful this morning to gather as a Senate. We're grateful for the freedoms that we enjoy in this country and for the blessings that are in our lives, the privilege of being able to serve the great people of this state of Wyoming. We ask you, Father, to bless us this day with wisdom and knowledge and by inspiration to make those decisions that would benefit the people of this state. We're grateful for this state and for the opportunity again that we have to serve. These things we thank thee for and say in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Take over the world.
Reading, correction, and approval of the journal. Will the reading clerk please read the journal committee report?
Mr. President, your journal committee reports that the journal of February the 12th, 2014, has been read and recommends that it be approved. Senator Jim L. Anderson, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the report. Are there any objections? There being none, the report is adopted. Doctor of the day is Kara Johnson from Cheyenne. Nurse of the day is Wendy Miller from Riverton. Today in Wyoming history, 1911, Campbell County, the fatted calf, was created. Thought for the day. Logic will get you from A to B. Imagination will take you everywhere. Albert Einstein. Members of the Senate, today we have Kay Warnock from the Wyoming liaison from the National Council of State Legislatures will be here to visit with legislators about NCSL services. The Wyoming legislature pays dues to belong to NCSL. And the organization has a wealth of resources to help you with your legislative work. Ms. Warnock will be in the Senate lobby this morning. If you have any question about NCSL services or requests for information, she would be happy to provide those to you and visit with you in the lobby. Introduction, reference, and reading of bills. Excuse me, Senator Hastert.
Mr. President, may I have privilege of the floor?
You may.
Let me just send it over to, on this gallery over here, we got a couple of folks with us from Sweetwater County. Carol Schaefer, she is has a multitude of titles at Western Wyoming. And Rebecca Breezemaster, she's the president of the Chamber of Commerce in Green River. I'd like to welcome them to the Senate.
Welcome to the Senate. Senator Kraft.
May I have privilege of the floor?
Yes, you may.
The unidentified gentleman that stood up with Carol and Rebecca is the newest member of the Rock Springs City Council. Please welcome him, Tim Savage.
Welcome to the Senate. Be careful for what you ask for.
Thank you.
Okay. Senator Bebout.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. President. I thought I would just take an opportunity to, if may I have privilege of the floor?
You sure may.
Thank you, Mr. President. I wanted to discuss very briefly the goldenrod. You all should have that on your desk. And I know probably most of you haven't had a chance to review it, but I wanted to go over a few items, and then we'll be talking about it pretty much on a daily basis, and I'll give the Senate an update on where we are. But if you all have that in front of you, just a couple things to zero in on. And the first one is you look on page one, and you go down the far right-hand side column where under the 15-16 biennium JRC RECs, and you go down there and you see that amount of money, $27.3 million. Everybody see where that is? That is the money that when the Joint Appropriations Committee worked the bill, and as it left the Joint Appropriations Committee in the budget bill, that is the amount of money that the Joint Appropriations Committee has not appropriated or set aside or done anything with. It's on the table. The other thing, Mr. President, that you need to understand is under the expenditure side, the only thing you see on there, if you go down to footnote 7, it says the 2014 General Fund Appropriations budget session, you see that 835 number? That $835,000 is for the LSO to do some things in our computer side IT, and that's the only appropriation that's on this goldenrod for all of the money that we're appropriating in the various bills for this budget session. And, Mr. President, just to give you an idea from a perspective from 30,000 feet, as far as we know right now, general fund dollars, there in all of the budget bill or all of the bills that are out there, there's 142 million additional general fund appropriation. Okay? Now, the one caveat about that is you have to back out some of the money that is already in the general in the budget bill, so there's a double count. And if you take that money out, and when we get into the budget bill, I will point that out. And essentially there's four areas. I can bring them up now. One is the capital restoration and building account. There will be a bill, I believe, today on introduction and reference of bills that will talk about that $37.5 million. That's part of it. The court security funding bill, which is Senate File 14, will be up today. That's reflected in both budgets. The appropriations for the legislature, there's a bill that will be in there. It's reflected in there. And something you'll hear a lot about later is a Fireman Pension Fund A project. Excuse me, you back those out, you still have $57 million of general fund money in the bills that we have in front of us that would need appropriation. And if you look at the $27 million we have, you subtract the $57 million, we're $30 million short. So I just wanted to point that out. And the other thing that I wanted to clarify to the body on the we have some of it, you'll see it when we get into the budget bill. There are some appropriations that are effective immediately. And if you recall, when we left the last session, there was money on the table that if we did not capture that or spend it, it would flow through to the LSRA. The governor captured some of that in one-time money around, or one-time expenditures effective immediately for around $37 million. The GAC reduced it to 21. So when you see the budget bill, there'd be $21 million that's effective immediately that would come out of money that would flow to the LSRA. I want everybody to understand that. So by spending that money effective immediately, we're reducing the amount of money that goes to the LSRA. Thank you, Mr. President. If there are any questions, I'll be glad to answer them, and we'll be talking about this more and more as we move forward. I just wanted to give the body an update.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. First Senate file, first reading of Senate file 96. Reading clerk will read the Senate file.
Senate File 96, sponsored by Senator Scott, Workforce Services Independent Contractors, and Act Relating to Labor and Employment.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I move introduction of Senate File 96 and ask for your favorable consideration. Mr. President, this is the second bill we've had this year with trouble in the unemployment insurance area as to who pays the who pays unemployment taxes and who doesn't. It also covers workers' comp. The problem here is a chronic one, Mr. President, that's been ever since I can remember, over who's an independent contractor and who isn't. And the reason that's a chronic problem is that we have a spectrum of situations all the way from classic employment that everybody agrees is regular employment for wages all the way to clear independent contractors. But there's a big gray area in between, and the definitions are important. What's happened is in the oil patch, we're having some particular trouble over some pretty highly technical people who are, for practical purposes, offering professional services, but it comes as if it were in the form of salary, but they're here 1 month, and 2 months later they'll be in Texas or some other place where there's oil and gas business, and they're getting hit for unemployment taxes in Wyoming that are different from, and they aren't being hit elsewhere. We're trying to get consistent with what goes on elsewhere and accommodate this particular kind of employment situation, which really is outside of the scope of what the unemployment insurance is intended for. And we're trying to get as consistent with the others. We are going to have to take a careful look at it in committee, Mr. President, make sure we don't have any unintended consequences in it. But that's the bill, and that's the need, and it is causing difficulties in the oil and gas business in particular out in the field.
Thank you, Senator Scott. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson, District 2.
Aye.
Anderson, District 28.
Aye.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Amrick.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hicks. Hines,
aye.
Johnson,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Nutting,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Rothfuss,
aye.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Von Flatern,
aye.
President Ross.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 30 ayes.
Senate File 96, having received a two-thirds majority vote, is referred to Committee Number 10, Labor. Senate File 106, first reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 106, sponsored by the Management Council, State Education Administration, and Act relating to public education.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President, and I move for the introduction of Senate File Number 106 and ask for your favorable consideration. Folks, I was just pulling up when you look at a Westlaw, Westlaw is kind of interesting because when you digitally look at where you're, what happens after a case is declared constitutional, you have a statute and it simply lists unconstitutional under it. And when you begin to look at your own statutes, If a statute is declared unconstitutional, oftentimes the statute remains, and beneath it there is a blurb that says this case was this statute was declared unconstitutional in such and such case. And oftentimes those statutes declared unconstitutional may stay on your books for three or four years or longer. Sometimes there are a few out there I think you could find today. So when you have a massive rewrite of the Educational Act, and since the time of the rewriting of the Senate File 104, the Educational Act, we have actually adopted even more statutes. So if you were to tomorrow go to your statutes and try to figure out what the law is before and after, it'd be a very pretty difficult assignment. because the authors of the statutes simply don't know which laws to unravel, which laws were declared unconstitutional. It's easy enough to go see the statute that was in effect on the day of the passage. But the tally is something like 11 or more bills have been drafted after the adoption of Senate File 104, which were based upon Senate File 104. So you have this unraveling effect. So regardless of what your position is with respect to what the final outcome should be following the Supreme Court decision, that we need to go back and figure out which statutes get resurrected, which change. We do have this director position. What are we going to do? Are we going to keep it? And apart from that, then there are certainly going to be a range of opinions with respect to what is the what's the solution to the Supreme Court decision. Do we want to go back to the prior configuration with a single superintendent? Do we want to have a director doing some functions but not the others? Do we want to divide department? All of that needs to be debated. And frankly, the legislature ought to be controlled now in terms of what is the appropriate remedy following the mandates of the case. So knowing that this is going to be a more complicated process, the Management Council's recommendation was that we not try to tackle that in this session. Rather, we look towards a special session if necessary, depending on what happens over the next month or so. The proposal then was that we would create what we described as a super committee composed of the Management Council, the chairs of Education, the chairs of Appropriation, if they're not already on Management Council, and have them go out and debate and come up with a proposed solution. In addition, Management Council has the authority under this bill to delegate activities to standing committees for certain workloads. This is really a model that we sort of followed when we did the Campbell cases, where we had a principal committee undertaking tasks, assigning them out, coming back with proposed legislation in the event that we have a special session. So this doesn't dictate or mandate what the solution is going to do. Rather, it sets up the formation of the directive that the Management Council, assisted by the chairs of the Education and Appropriations, move forward to find map out a procedure, and if there is a recommendation for a special session, it has to go out. All of us will get polled, and we'll vote at that time whether we think it's appropriate to move the bill forward. But regardless, we do have to find a mechanical solution to the statutes, and we have to also then we don't have to, but we should debate where are we, what's appropriate, what's in the best interest of education, your constituents, and all this does is lay out the mechanism to proceed there. I urge your support.
Chief Clerk, call the roll.
Anderson, District 2?
Aye.
Anderson, District 28?
No.
Barnard?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
No.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
No.
Kraft?
Aye.
Dockstader?
No.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Americh?
Aye.
Esquibel?
Aye.
Geis?
No.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
No.
Hines?
No.
Johnson?
No.
Landon?
Aye.
Meyer?
No.
Nicholas?
Aye.
Nutting? Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
no.
Rothfuss,
aye.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Bonflatern,
aye.
President Ross,
aye.
Closing vote. Barnard, aye to no.
I killed it. Peter, break.
Closing.
Break. Yeah.
Vote closed. 18 ayes, 12 noes.
Senate File 106, having failed to receive a two-thirds majority vote, Senate File 106 has failed introduction. Senate File 82, first reading of the Senate File.
Senate File 82, sponsored by the Natural Resource Funding Committee. 2014 Large Project Funding, an act relating to the Wyoming Wildlife and Natural Resource Funding Act.
Senator Hicks.
Mr. Chairman, I would move for adoption of or introduction of Senate File 82. A brief introduction to the members. If you will remember, this is a project bill that you see every year that comes from the Wildlife Natural Resource Trust Fund. Now, that's a statutory trust. The only things you see that come in the large project bill are those projects based on the existing statutes that exceed an appropriation of more than $200,000 from that account. This is a small number of the projects that they do overall in that within that account. The Trust Fund Board reviews those projects, goes out and makes a recommendation. They come back before the Select Natural Resource Project Funding Committee. Then they end up in the large water or the large project funding bill. Today in this bill, there's 14 projects. What they're currently looking at right now is an appropriation for fiscal year 2014. And these are on existing funds that's administered by the board is $6,426,126. For fiscal year 2015 and 2016, $3,680,000. In fiscal year 2016, it's $2,450,576. Members, I would just remind you that this is a project that's administered through the Wildlife Natural Resource Trust. These projects have been highly vetted by that board. They go out on site. They review each one of those projects to give the legislature the opportunity to look at these. Anything over $200,000 comes back to this body. I'd ask for your favorable consideration of a yes vote on this.
Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson District 2.
Aye.
Anderson District 28.
Aye.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout. Burns,
aye.
Case,
aye.
Christensen,
aye.
Coe,
aye.
Cooper,
aye.
Kraft,
aye.
Dockstader, Driscoll,
aye.
Amrick,
aye.
Esquibel, Geis,
aye.
Hastert,
aye.
Hicks,
aye.
Hines,
aye.
Johnson,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Nutting,
aye.
Perkins, Peterson,
aye.
Rothfuss,
aye.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Von Flatern,
aye.
President Ross.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 30 ayes.
Senate File 82, having received a two-thirds majority vote, is referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals. Senate File 107, first reading of Senate File.
Senate File 107, sponsored by Senator Bebout, Certificates of Insurance and Act Relating to Insurance.
Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, members of the Senate, I move for introduction of Senate File 107, Certificates of Insurance, and ask for favorable consideration. Mr. President, when we had a similar bill came up 4 or 5 days ago, it seems like 3 weeks ago, that the chairman of the Corporations Committee mentioned a companion bill that would be coming through that took care of some of the concerns that I had. You can see that my colleague from Natrona County, my tall colleague from Natrona County, is already on this bill, too, is on this bill. And, Mr. President, this bill is very similar to the other bill. The only difference is we're dealing with a certificate of insurance. And a concern I had, and we discussed this during the last general session, is as a businessman, when I go out to industry or to the people that require to know what kind of insurance I have, I provide them with a certificate of insurance. And on that certificate of insurance, it talks about the kind of insurance I have, like GL for general liability. I may have an umbrella policy that covers over and above the general liability policy I have. I may have other things on this broad form. And the difference in what this does, Mr. President, is it shows that on the certificate of insurance, if my agent represents on there that I have $1 million worth of broad form coverage for my general liability, then that in fact means I have it. So when I send that out to my clients, they know that I do have general liability to that limit. What it does not do is we say that in any way, shape, or form binds anybody to what the policy actually says. And that was the area that I had concerns about last time and last session, and we defeated that in the Senate. I think this goes a long way to satisfy my concerns, which are the concerns of all the business people and small businesses in Wyoming. So I would ask for your favorable vote.
Clerk, call the roll.
Anderson, District 2.
Aye.
Anderson, District 28.
Aye.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Amrick.
Aye.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hicks.
Aye.
Hines.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Landon. Meyer,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Nutting,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Rothfuss,
aye.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Von Platern,
aye.
President Ross.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 30 ayes.
Senate File 107, having received a two-thirds majority vote, is referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations. Senate File 95, first reading of the Senate File.
Senate File 95, sponsored by Senator Hicks, Constitutional Convention Select Committee, and Act relating to the administration of government and privacy.
Senator Hicks.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. President, I'd ask for favorable consideration of adoption for Senate File 95. I want to refresh your memories what Article 5 of the U.S. Constitution does. It provides two provisions on how that Constitution is amended. The most normal provision is to go through two-thirds vote of Congress, and then that is ratified by three-quarters of the state. The other provision in Article 5 deals with the states calling in conventions themselves. So when two-thirds of the states make applications to Congress for the purpose of amending the Constitution of the United States. But I want to walk you through just a real brief history of this. The purpose that provision exists in there today, when you read the debates not only in the Continental Congress, but also the ratifying conventions, was the Founding Fathers that sometime foresaw in the future then we may run into a situation where we had a recalcitrant or an oppressive government to the point that was repugnant to the states. So they put that in there to be the final arbitrator that the states could then come in and amend the Constitution if they determine necessary. Well, let me give you the history of that. That's never been used, but it's been an effective tool. The original Bill of Rights adopted in the Constitution were as a direct result that the first Congress of the United States discussion to call a states convention, and they adopted all 10 of the Bill of Rights. It was also the 17th, the 21st, the 22nd, and the 24th Amendments adopted by Congress were directly the result of the states filing applications. It takes two-thirds, 34 states. To date, there's been over 700 applications filed for an Article 5 Constitution in the United States. To date, as it exists today, there's 45 applications actually on file. Every state in the nation except for Hawaii has filed an application. There's 20 pending applications in Congress right now to call a state's convention on a balanced budget amendment. We're at a time in our government where we are increasingly seeing the states exert their sovereign rights to step up and defend that Constitution, and if we need to amend it, we need to amend it. There is a tremendous amount of question as to what would constitute if we actually implemented an Article 5 state's convention. Twice in our history, we've been one vote away from having that, and those are in recent histories in the 1960s and then again in the 1980s. In the 1980s, that prevented that, 33 votes to go to a balanced budget was the Graham-Rundgren bill that required Congress to go to a balanced budget. Quite frankly, that was supposed to happen in 1991, and it still hasn't happened. The point that this select committee would look at is whether we make application, and the state of Wyoming has made in our history, over 9 applications for a state's convention to deal with the amendment of the Constitution. whether we make application or not, the state of Wyoming will have to participate. It is absolutely incumbent upon us as a state to be not only the experts, the historians, and the leaders if there's a state convention, whether we are called for that convention or not. There's a tremendous number of questions that this committee would hope to resolve and at least bring back to the body and answer those. Can you rescind an application? Can Congress limit the applications for which will be considered? Can the state send individual applications, or are they aggregated on all subjects to get to the 34?
Senator Hicks, time.
Mr. Chairman, I please ask for favorable consideration on Senate File 95. Thank you.
Chief Clerk, call the roll.
Anderson, District 2?
No.
Anderson, District 28?
No.
Barnard?
No.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
No.
Case?
Aye.
Christensen?
No.
Coe?
No.
Cooper?
Aye.
Kraft?
No.
Dockstader?
Aye.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Amrick?
No.
Esquibel?
No.
Geist?
Aye.
Hastert? Hicks?
Aye.
Hines?
No.
Johnson?
No.
Landon?
No.
Meyer?
Aye.
Nicholas?
Aye.
Nutting?
No.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Rothfuss?
No.
Schiffer?
No.
Scott?
No.
Von Flatern?
No.
Vote? Christensen? No to aye. Meyer? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 13 ayes, 17 noes.
Senate File 95, having failed a two-thirds majority vote, Senate File 95 has failed. Introduction, Senator Meyer.
Mr. President.
You may.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, in the balcony above you, we have some visitors here from Goshen County. We've got the fourth graders from Trail Elementary. Yeah, so please help me welcome them to the Senate. Hey!
Welcome to the Senate. Hope you enjoy your day. Senate File 102, first reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 102, sponsored by Senator Peterson, State High School Sports Playoffs, and Act Relating to Educational Extracurricular Activities.
Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would move for introduction of Senate File 102 and ask for the body's favorable consideration. I wonder why I'm bringing this bill. This bill basically addresses a problem that we've had in the last 4 years as the state football championships have been moved to the University of Wyoming using their facility. It's a great facility with one problem. The goalposts are too narrow for high school athletics, and that they haven't been checked for 4 years. Now, it is a problem in the fact that the last three of the four games have been come down to field goals, and one actually boinked off the field goal. The other one was actually 4 feet to this side of it, to the left, and it decided the outcomes of those games. Not a big problem unless you're a field goal kicker from one of those teams or one of those teams. Or the parents.
Or the alumni.
Or the alumni. You can go on and on. So if you read the bill, it basically addresses playing fields or courts. The problem or the concern of courts, basketball, if we use a facility that has the collegiate three-point line, and no high school painted line on the court, then it becomes a problem as well. As far as the other problems of length of court, width of court, that's not so much a problem. The problem is the three-point line and the field goal standards of the football field. So with that, Mr. President, I would ask the body's favorable consideration one more thing. It's been an ongoing problem. It hasn't been resolved by our athletic association of our state. This will nudge them in the proper direction to get it corrected before the next playoffs occur. Thank you.
Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson, District 2?
No.
Anderson, District 28?
No.
Barnard?
Aye.
Barnard? Bebout? Bebout? Burns.
Aye.
Case.
No.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Driscoll.
No.
Amrick.
Aye.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Geist.
No.
Hastert.
No.
Hicks.
No.
Hines. Johnson.
No.
Landon.
No.
Meyer.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Nutting.
Aye.
Perkins.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Rothfuss.
Aye.
Schiffer.
No.
Scott.
Aye.
Von Flatern.
No.
President Ross.
No.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 17 ayes, 13 noes.
Senate File 102, having failed to receive a two-thirds majority vote, Senate File 102 has failed. Introduction. Did you want to see me?
This is Eli and Mike Bill. Can you just pull? Can you just pull it for a day and maybe do it tomorrow?
Okay.
Okay.
All right. 99. Diana, we're going to hold this. Diana, we're going to hold this one till tomorrow. Senate File 103, first reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 103, sponsored by the Management Council. State Buildings Construction, an act relating to administration of government.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President, and I move for the introduction of Senate File 103 and ask for your favorable consideration. Folks, this is a serious bill, and it's the President's bill. Folks, with respect to this beautiful building that we sit here underneath the Tiffany glass, the last major time that this building was addressed code requirements was the time of construction. And we sit here now in a wonderful building that the experts have told us if there was a fire in it today, the likelihood of salvaging the building is virtually nil. The way the building is constructed, there are air drafts that will take flames through here, up through the dome. And because the building's not compartmentalized, flames will go through. There's no sprinkler system in the building. The building would be difficult to save in the event of a fire. In addition, we have bathrooms. The wiring system is old, not up to code, nor deficient. We have bathrooms that are not suitable for handicapped folks. People are having a hard time getting around the building. You have water pipes that are corroding. We recognized the problem going back as long as 10 years ago and began the process of saying this, let's begin to look at the renovation of the Capitol building, our oldest, maybe most historic building in the state. So we have accumulated over time as a legislature a little over close to $100 million towards this project. Separately, we know that because of the remodeling, we're going to have smaller space, just the way it is. By the time you make code modifications, putting in new elevators, new bathrooms, new utility corridors, you're going to have less usable square footage inside this building. Now, going back again around 10 years ago, we began to look at the needs for space in the city of Cheyenne, recognizing that we are leasing a large amount of space for two purposes, one for general funded agencies and one for federal funded agencies. The general funded agencies, that's money right out of our pockets, and those when we go out and lease space for these general funded agencies, we're paying top dollar here in Cheyenne. When A&I goes out and negotiates those contracts, the space is needed. We're not really in the best negotiation posture. We spend a little over $5 million a year in lease payments in this community just for spaces for agencies off-site. We began, going back almost 10 years ago now, the effort of acquiring land around the Capitol for the Capitol complex and anticipating the expansion and the construction of new facilities. The legislature actually approved and funded the funds for a state office building, first to be located at the St. Mary's lot, and then we began to think maybe a more suitable site was the Pioneer Safeway lot after we acquired it. And so we've actually stepped through that process. The final planning monies were set aside or essentially not spent by the governor when it felt that there was a time crunch or a funding crunch, and that was part of his agency cuts after we left the session. As we look more into this building and what the suitable solution is, it looks like maybe the better solution is to convert the Herschler building into an executive office building. The Herschler building, when it was built, has the footings and the piers for an expansion of the building to the north. So it was designed for expansion. In addition, because we know there's going to be less space in this building, some of the executive officers are going to have to move out of the building. There's simply not enough to handle the various offices. And in addition, we have the situation where the governor now has policy analysts over in the Herschler building, which is really not the best situation, whereas we're paying a lot of money for those analysts. They're in a separate building with the governor. He doesn't have daily contact. And frankly, to run any type of a business, you ought to have your policy analysts with you. So as we reconfigure these offices and we recognize that maybe some of the five electeds have to move out, we want to make sure that they are moving into high-quality office space that's suitable for their office. So that was the idea of maybe we take a look at redoing the tunnel, putting in committee rooms for legislators, redoing the Herschler building, in mind that some of the suites, not all of them, would be high-level executive office suites. And they would actually, the way it's proposed right now, they would actually have offices that would be on the south end, and they'd have a wonderful view of the Capitol. There'd be a very nice space. So what this bill does is move the process forward to that project for a $250 million total project that will renovate this building at, I think, a total cost of about $150 million. The balance will be used between contingency funds and furniture and equipment, as well as the conversion of the Herschler building to an executive office building. The Herschler building has not been renovated since it was constructed in the early 1980s, and it's time for a facelift as well. So it's a long-term plan. To fund this bill, what we said is let's not try to knock it off in 1 year. We've got $100 million set aside. It's going to take us 5 to 6 years to complete this project, during which part of the time we as a legislature will have to have a couple sessions outside of the building, most likely in the new space created over in the Herschler building. So there's a lot of swing space, a lot of movement that has to take place during this time. There may be some lease facilities to hold people in temporary space. But what we'll do is, given the amount of time and the time that we had to write the checks, we'll set aside appropriate $37.5 million per year until the project is completed. At the end of the day, we will have completed the entire renovation, restored this Capitol building with cash, with no borrowing. Now, in the event that we're not appropriating quickly enough the $37.5 million, there is a borrowing capacity for the treasurer to look to interfund loans that are available just inside the various pooled revenues that he holds, but the payment would then come from the appropriated amounts. So we have a fairly elaborate system for backup. The reason for that, by the way, is because when you sign that check or sign the contract, all the funds have to be available for construction. So we have to have a borrowing capacity to allow the signature of the contract. Notwithstanding that, we believe we will be appropriating a rate that will meet the actual cash flow demands of the contract. This is a project that we've been working on for 8 to 9 years. It's finally coming to completion. It's well thought out. You'll get the chance to look at it some more. I urge your support of the restoration of this beautiful building.
Chief Clerk, call the roll.
Anderson, District 2?
Aye.
Anderson, District 28?
Aye.
Barnard?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
No.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Kraft?
Aye.
Dockstader?
Aye.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Emmerich?
Aye.
Escobel?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
Aye.
Hines?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Meyer?
No.
Nicholas?
Aye.
Nutting?
Aye.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Rothfuss?
Aye.
Schiffer?
Aye.
Scott?
No.
Von Flatern?
Aye.
President Ross?
Aye.
Closing vote? Closing vote closed. 27 ayes, 3 noes.
By your vote, Senate File 103 has received a two-thirds majority vote and is referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. Senate File 108, first reading of the Senate File.
Senate File 108, sponsored by Senator Scott, Obamacare Relief, an act relating to health care coverage.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I move introduction of Senate File 108 and ask your favorable consideration. Mr. President, this deals with the national health reform that's commonly known as either Obamacare or the ACA. Yet there are some problems, and it's not surprising in something as big as this thing that there would be some problems. And there's some problems that I think Washington will eventually fix. But in the meantime, we need a stopgap solution to help some of our citizens, because there are some citizens out there who are really being hurt by this thing. And this doesn't purport, Mr. President, to solve all the problems, but it does solve some that are of particular importance. And it really reaches two groups. One is the people who ordinarily pay for their own insurance, but will no longer be able to afford the insurance, the extra mandates, the extra requirements, things that have raised the costs of insurance. And this bill proposes to use the uninsurable pool and its mechanisms and some of its benefit designs to reach those people with a reduced benefit program that they can afford. There's a number of protections in here so that it will only really reach the people who simply otherwise will not buy insurance, Mr. President, will be then added to our uninsured. The most important of those mechanisms is that it's limited to circumstances where they'll be paying more than 8% of their income for their health coverage, which is the standard that's in the Federal Act. And if you exceed that standard, then you're no longer mandated to purchase insurance. So it would be just for that particular group. There's a second group, Mr. President, of the group under 100% of federal poverty who would not be eligible for the insurance exchanges and the subsidies that come there. A major portion of that group either has already got insurance coverage or can get it by simply working a minimum wage job for 40 hours a week, and those are certainly available in the state. But there's another group, particularly families with children. The children are taken care of through Medicaid or the kid care program that we have, but they raise the federal poverty level such the adults cannot become eligible for the exchange by working enough hours. And we'll need to do something with a mini-med program, Mr. President, so they have some coverage until that set of problems, which I think unintended all around, but that's the way it is, gets dealt with nationally. So it's a stopgap, Mr. President, does have an appropriation for the low-income group, and I think we need to start doing something in this whole health reform area and reacting to the problems that have come down to us from the feds. And this is a start on that. It won't solve all the problems, but I think it will be quite useful to some of our constituents. And I would urge the Senate to introduce it, let it go through committee, and come down here in good form.
Thank you, Senator Scott. Chief Clerk, call the roll.
Anderson, District 2.
Aye.
Anderson, District 28.
Aye.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
No.
Burns.
No.
Case.
No.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
No.
Cooper.
No.
Kraft.
Aye.
Dockstader.
No.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Amrick.
No.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hicks.
Hines,
aye. Johnson,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Meyer,
no.
Nicholas,
aye.
Nutting,
aye.
Perkins,
no.
Peterson,
no.
Rothfuss,
aye.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Von Flatern,
no.
President Ross,
aye.
Closing vote, case no to aye. Closing. Vote closed. 19 ayes, 11 noes.
Senate File 108, having failed to receive a two-thirds majority vote, Senate File 108 is screwed. has failed introduction. Sorry. Senate File 104. First reading of the Senate File.
Senate File 104, sponsored by Senator Meyer. Permanent Mineral Trust Fund Protection. An act relating to public funds.
Huh? What did you say? Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move for introduction of Senate File 104, Permanent Mineral Trust Fund Protection. And, Mr. President, the good Jim Anderson, senator from the center part of the state, told me that he already had messages about 104, and he's not sure whether he can support it. So, Mr. Chairman, With that comic relief, I'll try to tell you what's in the bill. Essentially, all of you have got a little flow chart that I passed out. Essentially, what it allows for, provides for, is that if you have some capital losses in the Permanent Mineral Trust Fund, it provides an additional method rather than the Joe Meyer rule, in addition to the Joe Meyer rule, for the treasurer to draw from the reserve account to replenish the corpus and essentially hold it inviolate to make sure that the money's always in there, that we can always rely on the interest. As it currently is, if you have a loss, the loss is not realized as far as mark to market. It's held for 5 years to see whether or not some income can be generated to make up that loss within that revenue stream. That income is taken away from the general fund flow that comes down. This would allow that offset so that general fund flow could go down through the interest and earnings dividends. And it also, the bill has nothing to do with that revenue stream. It doesn't affect that. There's a prohibition about that. So, Mr. Chairman, I think it's important that we make sure that our Wyoming Permanent Mineral Trust Fund continues to stay healthy, and that's what we're doing with this. I'd like to move it out so we can make sure that this is one of the tools in the toolboxes that the Treasurer has. I ask for a favorable consideration.
Thank you, Senator Meyer. Chief Clerk, call the roll.
Anderson, District 2.
Aye.
Anderson, District 28.
Aye.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
No.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Emmerich.
Aye.
Esquibel. Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hicks.
Aye.
Hines.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Nicholas.
No.
Nutting.
Aye.
Perkins.
No.
Peterson.
Aye.
Rothfuss.
Aye.
Schiffer.
Aye.
Scott.
Aye.
Von Flatern.
No.
President Ross.
No.
Esquibel.
He's excused. I'm sorry.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 24 ayes, 5 noes, 1 excused.
Senate File 104, having received a two-thirds majority vote, is referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. Senate File 101, first reading of Senate File.
Senate File 101, sponsored by Senator Von Flatern, License Plate Vehicle Indicator, an act relating to motor vehicles.
Senator Von Flatern.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move for the introduction of Senate File 101, the License Plate Vehicle Indicator. Fellow Senators, Wyoming is one of the few states that allows, maybe the only state, I don't have that exact figure, that allows for duplication of numbers on the same county license plate. So you can have County 2, 1, 2, 3 on your pickup truck, County 2, 1, 2, 3 on your car, and so forth. Well, that has caused trouble to a lot of people in other states where the officer is ticketing for parking, speeding, running a red light where they have the cameras, any of that. And the ticket comes back to the state for passenger car mostly, County 2, 1, 2, 3. Passenger car owner in Laramie County has never been to that state. Can't figure out why they're sending a letter saying you owe us this money. After a while, they send you a letter saying if you come back to our state, we're going to throw you in jail. Or you're driving in that state, first time you've ever been in that state, and a police officer pulls you over and says, 2123 is registered to a car, a Chevrolet, and you're driving a Ford pickup. And so you have stolen plates, and now we're arresting you now. So it happens a lot, and unfortunately one of the few states, and if the officers would write down red pickup, ticketed for, it wouldn't be an issue. But when they just write down County 2123 plate, Wyoming, send the ticket out, there's the problem. So what is being proposed? This is your new 2016 license plate. I don't have enough to hand them all around, but this is the new license plate. Yes, you can have photocopies of this. Ooh. Number one plate in the country. So what they propose is to put a little T right here after the county numbers, a T, and then Steamboat, and then the numbers. They could put the T at the end without any statutory changes, but that would upset people that have had County 2, number 1, license plate forever, and now they got a T on for it. So they want to stick this T in here. The officers always write down, no matter what state, they write down at least the numbers, and it will delete that, hopefully, 75 to 85% of the problems. It still does not solve the problem of UW plate 1, 2, 3, so they'll write down a Wyoming 123 car, and you have 123 whatever county, and then it gets a big mix-up as to who actually gets that ticket. But that's only a small percentage of any issues. The big issues have always been between cars, passenger cars, and pickup trucks. Same county, same number. So what this bill proposes is on page 2 is to go in there and add new language that says after the county number on the left-hand end of the license plate, may also contain a distinctive symbol or letters as determined by the department indicating vehicle type. It'll only be the T on the truck. Generally, they do put down motorhome or motorcycle, which has a smaller plate. But the car and the pickup truck are the issues. This is what this bill allows them to do. So there's your new plate. Anybody want to look? There's one on my desk. And ask for your favorable vote on Senate File 101.
Chief Clerk, call the roll.
Anderson, District 2.
Aye.
Anderson, District 28.
Aye.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen, Coe, Cooper, Kraft, Dockstader, Driscoll, Amrick, Amrick, Esquivel excused, Geis, Hastert, Hicks, Hines, Johnson, Landon, Meyer, Nicholas, Nutting, Perkins, Peterson, Rothfuss, Schiffer, Scott, Bonflatern, President Ross.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 24 ayes, 5 noes, 1 excused.
Senate File 101, having received a two-thirds majority vote, is referred to Committee Number 8, Transportation. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that the Senate stay, or let's adjourn till 2.
Recess.
Let's adjourn till 2 on a month from now. No, we'll recess till 2. Thank you.
Is there any announcements? Senator Burns.
President, your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, we moved a little slow this morning and didn't get through the bills we wanted to get through, and especially one of them had people who came to town specifically for it. So we will meet again 15 minutes upon adjournment, so it'll be about 12:15, up in room S14, where we will take up Senate File 63, Sexual Assault Protection Orders, and Senate File 72, Burglary.
Senator Geis.
Mr. President, your committee number 5, Agriculture, Public Land, Water, and Resource, will meet up on adjournment this afternoon in 302 to hear what the U.S. Forest Service is going to tell us about our natural forests in Wyoming. And then when we finish that, we're going to change hats and we're going to move to S15, and then we're going to take up Senate File 66, Omnibus Water Bill Construction, Senate File 56, State Engineer Fees, Senate File 39, Grand Teton National Park Transfer of Land, and Senate File 42, the very important bill, Electric License Installation of Light Bulbs.
Mr. Vice President.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, your committee number 2, Appropriations, will meet in 15 minutes in room S11 to discuss the following Senate files. Senate File 48, Cultural Trust Fund Board Membership Re-Referral. Senate File 64, Public Health Nursing Re-Referral. Senate File 57, Reduction of Boards and Commissions. Senate File 70, State Appropriation Lapsing of Funds. And Senate File 71, Reversion of Appropriations.
Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your committee number 3, Revenue, will meet in 30 minutes up in S16 up here to take up Senate File 33, County Board of Equalization 2, and Senate File 93, Agricultural Gas Tax Refund.
Senator Schiffer.
Mr. President, your committee number 1, Judiciary, will meet Friday, February 14th at 8 a.m. in S1 to take up Senate File 28, Post-Conviction Actual Innocence, Senate File 30, Compensation for Persons Exonerated Based on DNA Evidence, Senate File 31, 24-7 Sobriety Program, Senate File 35, Wearable Computers, Prohibition While Driving, Senate File 85, Trespassing to Collect Data, and Senate File 84, Child Support Payment, but we may not take them up in exactly that order.
Further announcements. You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion's adopted. Senate stands in recess until 2 p.m.